To awaken Christian scientists throughout the world to a recognition of pure metaphysics and to a right sense of affirmation and denial is one of the tasks that lies before us. And this awakening comes only through the demonstration of love. Christian scientists in every nation must awaken to the necessity of denying their own faults and the faults of their own nation, and those seeming faults must be denied until they are extinguished from consciousness. In every Christian Science treatment, the only adequate denial is the absolute nothingness of any phase of evil. The International Outlook presents a few great nations glorifying war and the rest of the nations fearing war. The errors are national pride and national fear. And we are apt to deceive ourselves when it comes to these errors and merely handle national pride. The fear of nations is very great, and we should handle this claim of fear. Let us remember that the reality and individuality of every nation, as well as the reality and individuality of every man, is forever intact in God and is eternal. The reality and individuality of a nation cannot be lost, but is found in the harmony of its infinite principle, love. To want to wipe Germany off the map, or to feel great disapproval of any person or group of persons, is not correct scientific attitude for any Christian scientist to take. To make any error, however great, a personal error, is not the way to prove its nothingness. Our work as Christian scientists is to prove the powerlessness and nothingness of erroneous thought, wherever it is seen or whatever its form, through our own correct mental position of God's allness. As we realize that we are of the Spirit of God, we can control every situation. But in Christian Science, we must be scientific in our thinking, or we shall make no demonstrations. As Christian scientists, we have a responsibility far greater than adherents of other religions, because the truth about all men and nations has been revealed to us. Our textbook, when speaking of the power of God in healing both mind and body, says, quote, "The tree is typical of man's divine principle, which is equal to every emergency, offering full salvation from sin, sickness, and death." Close quote. Science and Health, 406, 4-6. And St. John the Revelator writes, quote, "And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Close quote. Revelation 22, 2. The leaves of the tree stand for pure metaphysics, and any error pertaining to man or nations that is cognized by pure metaphysics comes under the all-powerful healing influence of pure metaphysics. It is quite natural that each one of us should be vitally concerned about our own country, the United States, and about our boys, and yet we experience the protective power and healing influence of pure metaphysics in the proportion that we maintain the fact that divine mind is in operation as all consciousness. God, mind, is not only in operation as the consciousness of Christian scientists and the consciousness of our country and our boys, but God, mind, is in operation as the consciousness of the whole world. The one infinite consciousness is not exclusive aware of me as a Christian scientist and aware of my country and my boy, however much these may engage my attention. If I desire protection for myself, or my country, or my boy, by means of divine science, my protection is in the exact proportion that God, my mind, knows no distinction of nations, or persons, or boys. As I understand and maintain that God, my mind, is the only substance, presence, power, and law to that which constitutes my consciousness, humanly as nation, country, or boy, this realization not only protects me and my country and my boy, but protects all men and all nations. Last October, I read a personal letter written by a Canadian boy who had been through the Battle of Dunkirk and also the battle in France before France capitulated. He was, at the time, acting as pilot in the Royal Air Force in England. The letter was written to his Sunday school teacher and practitioner, who had spent much time with him in preparing his thought for the many problems that might confront him. This boy quite thoroughly understood the distinction between man and the illusion that appeared as fighting mortals. The practitioner had made it especially clear to the boy concerning the allness and omnipotence of God, and how this omnipotence and omnipresence of God was the substance and wholeness of every human being. She told him that the omnipresence of God could not be pierced by a bullet. This statement of truth appealed to the boy so much that he wrote it out and placed it on the control of his plane so that it was right before him. Arrangements were made that if anything should happen to this boy, that a cable was to be sent to the practitioner. One day, a Nazi bomber shot down his plane, and he fell to the earth. But even while falling, the thought was with him that omnipresence was the substance and wholeness of everything. They picked him up, took him to the hospital, and cabled the practitioner. The boy seemed terribly mangled, and the next morning they went to the hospital expecting to find him dead. But instead, he was alive and no bones broken. The practitioner had proved that the omnipresence of conscious life is the substance and the whole of everything that constitutes man. Within a week, the boy was back piloting another plane. The practitioner understood pure metaphysics, and her mental position of God's allness was an adequate defense. She neither affirmed nor denied the illusion, the mere appearance called personal man, but she realized that in the omnipresence of God there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Mortals may say, what is the remedy for the multitudinous problems of the world? We know that men evolve and formulate wise laws and just agreements, which to some extent relieve the world's troubles. But mankind is absolutely powerless to change the human heart, from which every form of evil springs. Christ, truth, love alone can do this. The hope of the world lies in a higher power than human greatness and might. Human wisdom and ability cannot save the world in the perilous hour, but deliverance will come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And let us remember that the Lord is the right idea, or true consciousness, which we entertain concerning things. The thinking of right thoughts or spiritual ideas is the only power in the universe. We should not be dismayed at man's apparent helplessness. these days are teaching us universally the need of divine help. The call of this hour is that man shall return to God or truth, because truth is the only remedy for human ills. And as Christian Scientists, we should be giving more attention to spiritual values and moral excellency than ever before. The supreme need in the world today is a religion that will lead the people to Almighty God and unchangeable truth. And this religion is the science of mind, or Christian Science. The hope of the world is in Christian Science. The world is desperately in need of a new perspective, a need of an interpreter and an interpretation. And it is coming today into our midst. What seest thou? The coming of the Son of Man, even the demonstration of divine science in our midst. Everything that we now know humanly will be understood in its reality and will be seen visibly and known tangibly in its divinity. Are we, with our pure thought, looking through and beyond the mists, the mere appearance of evil? And are we beholding these appearances as the hidden existence of good? The infinity of good is discernible in men and nations, since men and nations exist as the manifestation of infinity. Since our own mind is the one mind, it must be pure science. And pure science is the only effective power in dealing with the testimony that confronts the world today. When we understand the facts concerning men and nations and remove our thought from the sense testimony, this fact of men and nations is enlightening and comforting and reassuring. Let us keep uppermost in our thought that infinite consciousness is infinitely conscious of all his own. Quote, "The Lord is mindful of his own." Close quote. There is no limit to the good we can do when once we refuse to accept the limitations which so-called mortal mind would impose upon us. To become conscious of the world as God is conscious of it is to overcome the world as Jesus did. That is, we overcome the false human concept of the world. The more we cognize the power we possess as right thought or divine idea and exercise this power in a godlike manner, the more we observe the effect of our work. The result is apparent not only to ourselves, but is apparent to all mankind. Perhaps the most important of all truth for us to understand today is that God has chosen us to live in these very years. Just as much so as it was in divine order that Jesus appeared to humanity in his age, and that Mrs. Eddy appeared to humanity in her age. Out of the billions of persons seemingly born to other ages, we have been chosen to live in this present time and be present at the christening of a new age. The world is so confused that unless we recognize that God has chosen us and that we are in divine order, we will fail to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Son of Man, which is the Son of God, fail to prepare ourselves for the spiritual riches appearing as the new material wealth of this age. each of us should prepare ourselves mentally and spiritually. We do not need to bother about anything else. Each one of us should change himself in order to be prepared for the new age. We need not try to change God, and it is useless for us to try to turn new conditions back into old conditions. Our only problem today is to prepare ourselves to fit into the new conditions of a new world, which is the coming of the Son of Man, or the demonstration of divine science. Old things and old conditions are passing away. Quote, "Behold, I create all things new." Close quote. The world of mortals is chaotic. It is the breaking up of old beliefs. We see the sign of the coming of the Son of Man in all the fluctuations and changes that are taking place today. We are not afraid, but rather do we rejoice that the long night of materialism is fading and the dawn of a new spiritual day is at hand. That's the end of the address.